Its head had been about, let's see, here. He walked backwards, dragging the chalk over the stones, progressing slowly over the damp, empty square like an ancient worshipper treading a maze. Here a wing, curving away towards a tail which stretched out to here. Change hands. Now head for the other wing. When he finished, he walked to the centre of the outline and ran his hand over the stones. He realised he was half expecting them to be warm. Surely there should be something. Some grease or something. Some crispy fried dragon lumps. Errol started eating a broken bottle with every sign of enjoyment. "You know what I think," said Vimes. "I think it went somewhere." Thunder rolled again. All right," muttered Vimes. "It was just a thought. It wasn't that dramatic." Errol stopped in mid-crunch. Very slowly, as though it was mounted on very smooth, well-oiled bearings, the dragon's head turned to face upwards. What it was staring at intently was a patch of empty air. There wasn't much else you could say about it. Vimes shivered under his cape. This was daft. "Look, don't muck about," he said. "There's nothing there." Errol started to tremble. "It's just the rain," said Vimes. "Go on, finish your bottle. Nice bottle." A thin, worried, keening noise broke from the dragon's mouth. "I'll show you," said Vimes. He cast around and spotted one of Throat's sausages, cast aside by a hungry reveller who had decided he was never going to be that hungry. He picked it up. "Look," he said, and threw it upwards. He felt sure, watching its trajectory, that it ought to have fallen back to the ground. It shouldn't have fallen away, as if he'd dropped it neatly into a tunnel in the sky, and the tunnel shouldn't have been looking back at him. Vivid purple lightning lashed from the empty air and struck the houses on the near side of the plaza, skittering across the walls for several yards, before winking out with a suddenness that almost denied that it had ever happened at all. Then it erupted again, this time hitting the rimward wall. The light broke where it hit into a network of searching tendrils spreading across the stones. The third attempt went upwards, forming an actinic column that eventually rose 50 or 60 feet in the air, appeared to stabilise, and started to spin, slowly. Vimes felt that a comment was called for. He said, "Ugh!" As the light revolved, it sent out thin zigzag streamers that jittered away across the rooftops, sometimes dipping, sometimes doubling back, searching. Errol ran up Vimes' back in a flurry of claws and fastened himself firmly on his shoulder. The excruciating agony recalled to Vimes that there was something he should be doing. Was it time to scream again? He tried another, No, probably not. The air started to smell like burning tin. Lady Ramkin's coach rattled into the plaza, making a noise like a roulette wheel, and pounded straight for Vimes, stopping in a skid that sent it juddering around in a semicircle and forced the horses either to face the other way or plat their legs. A furious vision in padded leather, gauntlets, tiara, and 30 yards of damp pink tulle leaned towards him and screamed, "Come on, you bloody idiot!" One glove caught him under his unresisting shoulder and hauled him bodily onto the box. "And stop screaming," the phantom ordered, focusing generations of natural authority into four syllables. Another shout spurred the horses from a bewildered standing start to a full gallop. The coach bounced away over the flagstones. An exploratory tendril of flickering light brushed the reins for a moment and then lost interest. "I suppose you haven't got any idea what's happening," shouted Vimes against the crackling of the spinning fire. "Not the foggiest!" The crawling lines spread like a web over the city, growing fainter with distance. Vimes imagined them creeping through windows and sneaking under doors. "It looks as though it's searching for something," he shouted, "then getting away before it finds it is a first-class idea, don't you think?" A tongue of fire hit the dark tower of art, slid blindly down its ivy-grown flanks, and disappeared through the dome of Unseen University's library. The other lines blinked out. Lady Ramkin brought the coach to a halt at the far side of the square. "What does it want the library for?" she said, frowning. "Maybe it wants to look something up." "Don't be silly," she said breezily. "There's just a lot of books in there. What would a flash of lightning want to read?" "Something very short. I really think you could try to be a bit more help." The line of light exploded into an arc between the library's dome and the centre of the plaza and hung in the air a band of brilliance several feet across. Then In a sudden rush, it became a sphere of fire which grew swiftly to encompass almost all the plaza, vanished suddenly, and left the night full of ringing violet shadows, and the plaza full of dragons.